We're going to move on to the next topic. It sits between us and lunch. So the next topic is marketing and social media. And again, we'll ask each of the speakers to talk for about 5 minutes and share their perspectives on this issue, and then we'll bring the audience in. So that's what we're going to do. And anybody can go first.
Don't look at
me. I'll go first. That way I'm done first. My degree's in marketing, and my husband and I own an advertising business. So this is kind of an area that has always interested me. I think we're changing. Our society's changing, and with it, we must change too. We must think more broad. That's my big point I want you to take away from it. There's traditional ways that we've marketed. Those don't necessarily need to go away either, but I think we need to think broad. Are you on Instagram? Do you have an Instagram presence? Do you have a Facebook presence? Do you have a Twitter presence? Do you have a LinkedIn site? LinkedIn is huge. Who's who? I was going to say on a Facebook, I had a presentation that was done by a millennial from the Baylor marketing department. And she came into our company and gave us tips that we needed for marketing. And one of the things she said is, millennials are using Facebook like we used Yellow Pages. Mm-hmm. So you gotta be on Facebook, number one. Your website should have a link to each of those sites. Now, if you're not technology bound as a group, and you don't have anyone to put this up, find an intern. You have a local community college? Find an intern that's willing to do it as a project, or have a high school. You'll find, you can find someone to help you with that, and that's what we did as well. Your web and presence needs to be important. You need to increase your search engine optimization, your SEO. You don't know what that is? Write down that word, search engine optimization, SEO. What can you do to increase that? Do you have a YouTube video that explains the benefits of membership? I think that needs to be on our websites, because we learn different ways. Some of us learn auditorial, some of us learn visually. I find a lot of my speakers just by using Twitter. Don't forget the traditional ways, the newspaper. The bulletin board has been huge for organization, that people that come in to do research. Just the bulletin board at all the branch libraries has been important. I design a flyer because I'm program chair. And so when you come to our meeting, you're going to be handed our flyer for next month so that you can take that flyer and you can either invite a neighbor and hand that flyer out, or you can take it home and put it on your own date book if you use the traditional calendars like a lot of us still do. Okay, but don't forget an invitation, and you've just got to hit a lot of different programming. Do you have magazines that you can, local magazines and periodicals in your community that you can put up something on the calendar on? I think with millennials too, because that's where a lot of our future lies, I think it's important that we all understand what millennials are thinking of. There's a lot of research out there right now, and if you want to attract youth to your, through social and marketing, you've got to find them the way they search. You got to go to their backyard. That's what I'm saying there. And that means they're going to be interested in the science part of it, the DNA. They're going to be, they do a lot more searching you with ebooks, and they may use an ebook as far as genealogy research. They may be interested in more video knowledge, okay? But they also want it right now, too. So, no, they don't understand. You got to tell them it's a process. Okay, so explain that up front, especially when you're working with millennials. members that don't use email, you're going to have to reach out them to them separate, okay? And we have some of those. We don't have very many of those anymore. Does anybody in this room not have an email? Okay. You need to know how many of your members don't have an email, okay? Because those need to be done. You can do the old traditional phone call list like we used to do in church where you're calling, okay? And then you call the next fella and you call the next fella. If that still is one idea that works. Thank you.
Thank you.
We'll just go down the line this time. Two things to remember, I think, with social media, I think are very important. I agree with everything you said. You do need Facebook. If you have a website and your website is still on RootsWeb, move it. There are plenty of free sites now that will let you set up a very professional-looking site that easily can give you your own address, and there are ways to do it both free and for a slight fee. But even if you're a small society, this is something you need to do. As you said, if you can't find somebody and you're not technical to do it, ask your grandchildren. I guarantee you, every one of you has got a niece, a nephew, or a grandchild that would love to work with you to set up a website for your organization. It's playtime for them, and they'd be more than happy to help. Most of the time, if you have a problem with the phone, who's the first person you go ask? The youngest kid in the room, because they can probably tell you. But your presence should have that. It will let you get to millennials. It will let you reach out to other people. If you had told me years ago I'd be using my phone for some of the things I'm using my phone for, I'd have said, yeah, well, you know, a telephone's for a phone call. Not anymore. It's used for so many things, and your social media needs to be there. But seriously, think about what social media platforms you want to use. You don't have to be everywhere to start with. You need to consider what you want to use. Facebook for a presence is definitely something I would recommend. The others, look at them for your organization, and you don't have to be everywhere the first day. Put your feet in, start with Facebook, set it up as a private group, set it up publicly, whichever is going to work for you. I found things for societies in Tennessee that I very seldom get to visit anymore, and yet I found things online by following them on Facebook. New resources that are available, and those resources are online, and they point me in that direction. If you want to find out what the genealogy sites are on Facebook, go to your Facebook account, type in genealogy, and see how many come up. You will be surprised. People are getting their information there, and then they're linking to the society to learn more about the societies. So also ask who in your society has their own website for their family or has their own Facebook page. You might be surprised who has something and maybe doesn't want full responsibility for it, but would be willing to help out and to teach somebody else how to do it. If it's something that you need to do when you're getting ready to select your board for the next year, before you start nominating people, think about where you want the organization to be in a few years and begin to recruit people with those skills for your board. That's something that other societies have done over the years. They've said, okay, we want to take our publications digital. We want to have social media presence. We need to update our website and have a robust database in a members-only area. And recruit the people who have those skills to be part of your board and work with you to do that. It's an exciting and fun time to be working on the internet with Facebook. It's amazing the things you can learn and the things you can communicate about your society, about your research, about your finding. People have set up Facebook pages for their families to communicate family history. Rather than creating a family book that they publish, they've now created a Facebook page for their family history. Think about what you see every day with your cousins, nephews, nieces, other family members. How many of you know more about their family than you did growing up about your own family, because it's all over Facebook now? So it is a way to continue to tell your family story. There are sites, there actually is a publication of about 36 pages, PDF form, that lists all of the genealogy-related social media sites with links. 36-page PDF. That's a lot of sites out there. When you're looking at marketing in general, though, think outside the box. putting something in a newsletter is great, but putting something in a newsletter that's going to happen 3 months from now means I've got to, it's going to be a while before it gets out there. And that instant gratification is something that people want to know. I want to know the news now. I don't want to know it 2 months from now or a month from now. I want to know what's going on in your society this week. Make it easy for people to contact you. One of the things as a society that you need to consider is some generic email addresses for your officers. How many times have you in the past had an officer who's left the organization and yet the email for information is still in their name, goes to their email account, rather, and it's published in different places, and you don't know everywhere that it's published. So you need to have something that's generic, like info at your society name.
Thank you. Go ahead.
Oh, okay. we talk about Facebook. Sorry. We talk about Facebook, and it is critical, and it is essential, but it's also essential that we learn how to work it. It's not just getting an account on Facebook. Mm-hmm. We have a website, and the website feeds to Facebook, and Facebook feeds to the website. But also, talking about SEO, the thing that we need to remember is if we only use Facebook occasionally, that means that after the first flush of new members signing up, that there's a process there, and our Facebook feeds will continue to drop to the bottom. So if something is posted about a meeting in 2 days, someone might not get that until 4 or 5 days after the meeting, depending the priority that our site is in their Facebook activity. So the SEO, whether we understand what that means or not, it's important that we have a Facebook page that is actually continually posting something of value and of use to our members, or our members will not get that information in a timely fashion. So our Facebook also is something, consider Facebook as an opportunity to celebrate those wonderful things that are going on. So we actually have a photographer that we've asked. She is a photographer. It's not her full-time job, but she's a professional photographer. She's interested in genealogy, and we asked her if she would be interested in serving our group and coming to the meetings. So she takes photos, she sends them to me digitally, and then we upload them after our meeting. So normally, everything doesn't always happen all the time, but normally, so then we, of course, tag them now. We tell people, look to Facebook, go to the page. And so, of course, we'll probably have about 10 times more members on Facebook that live around the country than we have attending our meetings. So we can talk about the meeting. We can publicize the meeting. We have emails. We do publicize in that way. But it's also, I think it's important that we consider, and most of you know this because you are in your areas, I am not from Texas. Don't boo me. I'm not from Texas, and I'm definitely not from Wise County. So it took some time for me to understand and respect the culture of the community that I'm in. Tradition has a very strong pull, does it not? Mm-hmm. And we don't like people coming in and messing with our traditions. And that is something to respect when starting an organization or revamping an organization or vitalizing an organization. One of the things that works in our community is, what's it called, Sally? The daily thing? The update. The update is critical. We can have newspaper articles, and they're great. Everyone reads the papers. They're not very long and big and doesn't take very long. Again, there's cross-community challenges between the Bridgeport paper and the Decatur paper and all these various things. But the update crosses all lines. The update has its own publication. It's online. It goes out to all the businesses. That is the key for us to getting the information out in a timely fashion on top of our media. So we combine old school and new school in doing, and I believe that is something that works. Secondly, if you're going to have a website and you're going to have a Facebook page, see whether you ask someone, a family member or a young person, or I loved the idea of an internship. Mm-hmm. We have a junior college in our community. How wonderful would that be to arrange for a internship to help us, and then we can sign off and give them a letter of recommendation, which is very valid to them when they're seeking jobs. Great idea. Mm-hmm. But do spend time getting a good logo. Your logo says everything about you in this day and age, whether we're talking millennials or whatever. It creates a professional presentation. It can be put on T-shirts. It can be put on the paper. It can be put on every flyer that we create. We use our logo constantly. Our logo is identifiable. It's a great logo. If we're going to do media, let's do it right. Let's do it in a way that presents us as a group, professional group, who is pulled together, and it's going to be appealing to no matter what age group it's going out. So I highly recommend that. What was the other thing we're supposed to talk about? I can't believe I'm not out of time.
Marketing and social media.
Oh, marketing and social media. Okay.
There you go.
See that, Mark.
Yes, I agree 100% with everything that's been said about social media. However, I must reiterate that we consider who our audience is, mm-hmm. yes. and who our desired catch is. For example, I mentioned I'm in two different groups. So the audience, or the customer base, if you will, are different between mm-hmm. Fort Worth, big metroplex city, and little Dublin, Texas, Erath County. I would say that about, I'm going to guess, 30% of our really active members do not use email. So I like the one person calls and then they call. And I think we've kind of been doing that, but we need to make it official for those folks. Newspapers have worked very well for us, and most every type of publication that comes from us, our journal and our Facebook group, our newsletters, will talk to that we research Erath and surrounding counties, because people didn't just live in one county, did they? And oh, by the way, the county line moved a lot. So they might have lived on the same farm, but in one decade they were in Comanche County, and in the next decade they were in Erath County. So what we've been doing is we've been sending notice about our events, our meetings, our field trips, not just to our local newspapers, but to those around. And that's where we get our visitors. We have people coming over from Gordon, Palo Pinto County, and Hamilton County, and Comanche. So reaching out to newspapers in the next county has been very good for us. Skill level, I mentioned. Another thing, when we were talking about when to have your meeting, in Erath we meet at 2 p.m. on a Saturday, and that works well because we have several that are coming from out of town. One gentleman comes from Georgetown for each meeting because they're coming back home. They're coming back for a visit. And so all day Saturday, the library is open to, if you want to be there that Saturday to be researching with friends, there will be friends there. If you can't make it till 2, that's fine too. We have drivers because in our organization, among those who don't use computers, we have a half dozen treasurers, folks that have lived in the area all of their 80 plus years, and they're no longer comfortable driving to the meetings, so we have other members that pick them up and bring them to the meetings. That's one of the things that I'm most proud to see, that we're getting our subject matter experts in there for us newbies to talk with and share with and learn from and be mentored by. So yes, technology is awesome, and you don't want to turn away from it. In my situation, myself and a couple of others, officers, we need to keep our ear to the railroad track and see when our membership is ready for the next step. We've been very successful with our Facebook group. Someone mentioned 800. We have about 600 people in our Facebook group, although our society membership is about 120, I think. which I'm really proud of for a rural community. And a lot of those, I'm going to say a third or more, are out-of-state members because they found us through our Facebook group, that they have an ancestor from our area, and that's a way that they can research our area and get help from us. Communication, it's important to keep it simple. Yes, you want to be communicating, but you don't want to be that organization where people just start to delete your email as it comes into their inbox because, oh my gosh, there's another one from that group. I've already read their email yesterday or last week, and this is probably just going to repeat what they said in the last one. So, yes, communicate, but make sure that your communication is just enough and not too much. That's really all I can think of, so I will just, whatever time left, I'll share with someone else.
You could sing.
I could sing? But if
a genealogy song?
A genealogy song? No, but if I sing, see, I'd have to dance, and then things would get out of tune.
Save that bill.
Thank you.
All right, same drill here. Comments, questions, anything? We have a mic in the back.
Somebody's there.
Okay, if y'all get tired of me asking questions, just tell me to sit down and shut up. We're looking at updating, changing our web page, and it needs it. We haven't been able to have a members-only section or anything. Right now, one of the places we're looking at, I think it's called EasySitesNet.
EasyNet.
I think some of y'all use that. I would like later some feedback individually from people about their membership module in particular. I would appreciate that. And secondly, we, of course, are looking at going from slow mail from our newsletters and our quarterlies to maybe digital only as much as we can. Did you face a lot of reluctance or opposition from your members going that way? Is that a real or just a perceived problem?
We offer both. We offer both. What they do is they have to, when they sign up for their membership, they tell us with a checkbox, do we want a digital version of our quarterly or do we want a physical copy of it? And at first, the first year, I think we, Jill, you can help me with this. The first year, we had over 50%, I think. Oh. And it's, I think that's going to grow, okay? But we still have those that do want a physical copy, okay? And I think we'll probably, because the quarterly is expensive to publish.
Yes, yes.
Okay, a digital version is much, it's a lot easier for us, and it can be in color too. That, you know, you don't have as many color pages. So
okay, thank you.
But we really do measure that, how those are working.
Okay, and I have I think it's important too when we offer digital. Thinking of the conversion process of another of the local historical society, it's important that we give our members the tools so that they know how to increase the font size. So, and really not a lot know that, and that will be very helpful to them. So it will come to them, but then they can read it if they are able, if they need to change that. So,
go ahead,
John. I'm John Wiley with Grand Prairie Society. One of the things that we found is that we just recently measured roughly 50% of the traffic at our website is on the pages where we offer information rather than marketing a product, marketing a meeting, or listing our officers. People might care a little bit about that, but what they're coming to our website to look at is our inventory of cemeteries, our inventory of obituaries, the kind of stuff, you know, those are the data books in the library that are now data files on the web. So put those on your website so that people will come there and see that you're actually doing something. And I think that will assist with the other issues we've talked about.
Tony Hansen again. Your question about EasyNet sites, I just want to make you aware that there is a Facebook group, and there's actually several Facebook groups at all you may want to be interested in, but in particular, there's one called Genealogy Society Webmasters. And there's a handout on your table. There's also a link on our webpage for this this event that lists all these groups. But in particular, the Genealogy Society of Webmasters, there's been a lot of people who have gone to EasyNet sites. This question has been asked a lot of times and answered. And so we just encourage you to have your web critter sign up for that group. It is a closed group. And get part of that. You can read the comments that have been placed already. There's about 200 of us that work actively in there. And it's just a good resource. There are also a lot of other Facebook resources. There is a Genealogy Society Leadership Forum. There's a social media for genealogy. There's a technology for genealogy, and there's probably others. Again, all of these are listed on our website. There are on a handout on your table. You got it back now. So I just would encourage you to look into those because it's a great online resource. I want to plea a little bit. I'm kind of preaching to the choir because I got in contact with all of you, but there's about 50 societies not represented here that we solicited. Having been through this 2 years, it is an incredible challenge to contact all the organizations because, you know, particularly for societies that don't have, you know, domain-based things, somebody at your society name, leadership changes every year, and so our list gets out of date every year, and it's really hard from the outside to contact a lot of the societies. So I would encourage you to go to that kind of domain-based naming convention so you have consistent addresses every year, and also to make sure that your website or your Facebook site has your contact information so that somebody trying to contact you can easily do so. Because, again, not all societies are created equal, I'm finding on that. Last thing, and I'll yield to the floor, a marketing idea for us. The Dallas Society a couple of years ago participated in the North Texas Irish Festival. We bought a booth there. Cost us a bit of money. It was about $400-some-odd, but over the course of 3 days, we had a real steady stream of people who had no idea that there was a Dallas Genealogical Society. It was a pretty good marketing opportunity, and you know, one that we felt pretty good for, but not good enough to do it last year, but we're thinking about doing it again next year. Here's my pitch. What a wonderful thing it would be, again, if a bunch of genealogy societies came together and got a booth and said, we are the North Texas Societies, you know, there's 55,000 people that hit this thing over a couple of days, you know, to say, oh, well, you're from, you know, Rockwall, or you're from Denton, you're from whatever. Yeah, here's some literature about our society. We'd love to have you. We met an awful lot of interesting people, had a lot of interesting discussions, and I think generated a lot of people to think about genealogy and, more importantly, about belonging to a genealogy society that had never considered it. So, again, that's another thing that we as a community of genealogy societies might consider. If you're interested, let me know.
I like your idea about us all getting together and doing a fair. And actually, the first thing that came to mind, and it could be because today's the first day, State Fair might be a great place for us to all get together to do that, because it would take all of us to do that. Now, to my question, there are those of us that are technology challenged. And I've done a lot on technology, and I there are things I know. However, there's a lot of things I don't know. And one of my questions is, when you're going on to Facebook and Instagram and Twitter and LinkedIn, and you're adding all of those things to your society, who takes care of that? And how much time is it going to take for them to promote the society and to do those types of things?
How long does it take you to do a post yourself on Facebook, those of you that have a Facebook site? It doesn't take very long to do it. I mean, and you don't want to overwhelm people either, but I would have a point person. I would have a point person that I'm the Instagram person, you know, on your board. I don't know, some of your boards may be smaller. You may have to start small, okay? Mm-hmm. But, you know, for example, I have a kiddo in college and she helps me put stuff up on her own corporate Facebook site. And that's something she can do remotely. So it's not like you can't send some pictures or snapped or whatever, some research is shown, whatever, and you send it to your site, and you might can have even a kid or a grandkid or somebody intern. It doesn't have to be, you know, just anyone that you know, local high school student might do it, help you, to show you how to do it, until you get started with it. Once you start using the technology, you're going to be much more comfortable with it. Sorry.
Is this on? I would say that Gosh, that sounds bossy, doesn't it? We have some different angles here, but it's all coming together. Who is your target group? You know, if you are targeting younger people, then you'll want more modern media. You'll want a bigger variety. If you are working with the senior citizens and the mature people of your community, it may not be necessary to go to Twitter. It may not be necessary to do all those things. And the one comment that I wanted to add that I feel is important is if we get a Facebook in our backup, I do have a hard time finishing my sentences. Okay. I think if we're going to get into media, it's a great opportunity to have someone be in charge of the media. That's a great opportunity to bring someone onto your board. But secondly, once we have a Facebook, it's very important that somebody be in charge of the Facebook and not just posting, because people ask questions. And questions need to be answered, because there's nothing worse for any community, for any society or any group in a community to be perceived as unresponsive. So for our Facebook, we do get questions a lot about research or about where to go for this or for that. So they've not just Googled us, but they've also gone to Facebook. They've also put our county name in. They've also come up with our page, and then they ask questions. So somebody needs to be checking back on Facebook, not just posting. So learning the workings of the technology, even just a little bit, is very helpful to keeping our group growing and moving and, again, being responsive to those who seek us out. Just an important thought.
Go ahead.
May I have a quick over?
Sure.
Overage? We've been talking a lot. We're talking about marketing and social media, but something else to keep in mind for marketing, fourth graders and seventh graders, and maybe other grades as well, but I find that in those two grades, they usually have some type of assignment related to family history. So if your society, for example, in Dublin, it's a small ISD, so we're on a first-name basis with some of the teachers. But if you can get into the classroom and help them with a family history project, also you can take road shows not only to the school but to the senior centers. Just 2 weeks ago, I went to the White Settlement Senior Citizens Center, and yes, there were probably a few people in there that they were just there. But then there were also those people who we talked about, well, go home and make notes on your things that are most important to you that you want to leave to a particular person. So I guess what I wanted to bring up were the other ends of the spectrum, the school children and the seniors.
Thank you. We have a few more minutes. Yeah, can you come up to this mic, maybe?
Yep. Okay, thank you.
Sure.
I turned it off. Patty, you were talking about making sure that you had responses to questions on your Facebook. Is that two jobs? Do you have someone who is responsible for maintaining the output and somebody else entirely that is responsible for responding to questions?
No, we do not. Just one person.
You need to, though.
Just one person.
I'm that one person, and it's very unmanageable.
You can have more than one administrator.
Yes, there can. And
it depends on your size of your how much traffic you're getting.
You can, but it's just as easy to have one, because unless you're getting hundreds of requests and hundreds of questions, it's manageable for most.
Sorry. Well, the group is manageable. What I'm referring to are queries. We get a lot of queries to our library, phone call, email, snail mail, and now Facebook group.
To the city library.
So separate from the Facebook administrator, you were asking, was it two jobs? Yes, in our case, we also need a query team.
Okay, here, go ahead.
Please. I like to kind of help you on our Facebook group. I'm the administrator of it. I'm the one that invented it or started it. If you have it set to where you get notifications, it'll come up in your notifications automatically. And if I'm in the library working that day, or even that's usually the first thing I look at before any of my other notifications, is anything that's posted in our group. We have set ours to private. We have three questions they have to answer to make sure we don't get salespeople come in there. I mean, one of the things is what do they hope to obtain? What family names are they researching? Would they like to be able to help somebody else in our group with their family research if they need it? And those are the three main things. And then you know, they're accepted. If I know somebody personally within our city limits and I know that they're interested, I'll go ahead and okay them. We just had to do that because we had too many spam people come in, as you could say, for that. Most of the time when we have a query for somebody that's want information on their family, before long you'll find other people that are researching that same name, and they'll go ahead and jump in the conversation and say information like that. About 6 months ago or longer, we had three different people asked to become members, and they were all three accepted, and I always say welcome and those people's names to our group, and please share with us your ancestors' names from Lamar County and surrounding areas. And they will go ahead and post that in there, and they'll give a little bit of information. Well, out of those three people, entirely three different people, after that one person posted their information, that second person came in that was a new member and said, I have the same people on that mother's side of the family, that Davis side of the family. Well, then the third person came in and said, well, I have family from the other side of the family. So right there, you had three people that were cousins that didn't know each other.
With Facebook.
And they learned about each other, and that's how it starts. And I said, exactly, that's what we're here for, is for to be information on our county, what resources we have available in our genealogy library. And for those of you that don't know, yes, I'm kind of patting herself back, we're a freestanding library. We're not inside a public library. And we're all nonprofit, all volunteers. And we'd love for have you in Lamar County sometime if you'd like to. it's really good. And Facebook is, like you said, it's really good. Even help us. We have, you know, if you are in first Lamar County, but everybody came from somewhere else. And if you have a roadblock in there from another county, like in Oklahoma, and Oklahoma is challenging to research because there's not a lot online information, then you find a genealogy society or a group in that county, and you'll have people just like us that will volunteer to go look things up for you. And you'll find it might open up three or four generations back just by contacting them. So that's how networking through the Facebook groups is fantastic for genealogy, I think. I hope this has kind of helped a little bit.
Definitely. I think we're getting by any of the ones that are interested in learning how one works that have to have Lamar County connections to come to our Facebook and join.
Yes, that would be great. Anybody that wants to join so they can kind of see what it is like.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Good job.
I also do Red River County's groups too.
Face group. Okay. Face group. That's a new one. All right. So, John Wiley, you have one more minute. Would you like to? No, I'm just teasing you. All right. So I think we're going to close it down now, but don't leave yet. I have to get my iPad going here. Thank you very much. This is great to have people volunteer and just to be a part of this and to have you all stand up. And I think for me personally, there's been one of the biggest challenges has been social media, getting our brand right, trying to make sure that our message is consistent. It's a lot of work. It's a lot of stuff outside my expertise, and we make a lot of mistakes. And there's nothing more fertile than this ground if you want to grow and learn. It's incredible and it's wonderful. And I'll say that one of the things that is important, I think, is the use of video. And I've started when I heard that in a couple of years from now, 80% of communications on the web are going to be video. You know, still images are kaput. Text is dead. I mean, I'm just obviously being exaggerating here. But the thing I did was just download Adobe Spark. Mm-hmm. And I started, as you saw me do, I interview people and take pictures, and we can put video on our Facebook page immediately. And the first one was just pure crap, and it was a lot. But we had more people share that video and come to that video than anything we had ever posted today. That's just amazing, you know, to me. So video is very, very important and challenging. So we're going to eat in this room. We will, this is kind of be how it works. Your lunches are outside the door. We have turkey and ham. I hope you get your choice. And we have drinks in the back. We have tea, lemonade, and water. And over here, I think there's still some coffee. It ought to be well done now. And Josh is going to speak to us during lunch, but, you know, use the restroom, grab your meal, get your drinks, whatever, in whichever order. And we're also going to give away some prizes. So, go at it. Thanks very much.
Okay. Kathleen.